The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, it's your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, and this is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I will be bringing you stories of inspiration and information in hopes that you will connect to your own success. We're going to start with some, of course, inspirational stories that will help you this month and hopefully throughout the whole upcoming year. This story is from OptimicEdge.org, Voices of Experience, Inspiring Stories of People Thriving with Vision Loss. We all love stories and to share stories of people succeeding with vision loss at every age and stage of life. It reminds us all that there is no limit to what is possible. Each story has the power to inspire so many more to find the potential in preservation. We talk about different people, we meet different people, and there's one common thread that runs through the stories, vision loss and perspective gained. This first story is about Rachel Christian, a journalist. Rachel, a personal financial writer who is legally blind from cone dystrophy, finds working from home is profoundly empowering. She has control of her work environment, does not feel self-conscious around coworkers, and she does not have to deal with the transportation hurdles inherent for visual impairment commuters. It's a game changer. Here's why working from home works for Rachel. As someone in the blind and low vision community, the expansion of remote work has been more than a game changer. Normally, people with visual impairments face major hurdles in the workforce, from overcoming hiring discrimination to securing reliable transportation. Less than half of U.S. adults with visual impairments were in the labor force in 2019. When you're looking at research, a research review from the American Foundation for the Blind found that 38% of people with blindness or low vision had turned down a job due to transportation concerns. Rachel says, I've experienced this firsthand as a 21-year-old college student. I was a year and a half from graduation, and a prestigious daily newspaper internship was at my fingertips. I'd been freelancing for the paper for a semester and had built a rapport with a news editor. I submitted my resume and clips and clinched the interview. Completing an online application was the final step. It was just a formality, the editor told me. I breezed through it until I hit a seemingly mundane question. Do you have a valid driver's license? My heart sank. My vision has been deteriorating since I was 15 years old due to a rare retinal disease called cone dystrophy. There's no cure, but I've adapted. I learned how to adjust the contrast, brightness, and zoom on my computer and smartphone to be able to excel in college. Despite overcoming these challenges, I still didn't have a driver's license. I still don't. I never even driven a car. I told the truth on the application. A few days later, the editor informed me the internship was off the table. The driver's license requirement was corporate policy. Interns often went out on assignment. You have to have a car. His hands were tied, he said. I went on to land a different internship, but this missed opportunity still haunted me. I'd been so close to my goal and was disqualified simply because I couldn't drive. Transportation remained an issue for me as well as for many others, and transportation was a chronic pain point throughout my career. Without a car, certain opportunities were eliminated. If a job wasn't near a bus or train stop, it didn't matter how well qualified I was. It wasn't an option. About 6 months after starting a job at the marketing firm, the pandemic hit. My company went fully remote like so many others across the country. I no longer struggled to see my computer screen in the sun-drenched window-filled office. I could keep my apartment as dark as a cave without inconveniencing anyone. And if I needed to lean forward and squint at my monitor, I didn't feel self-conscious or worry about what my coworkers might think. My writing speed spiked. I made fewer mistakes. I picked up extra assignments and added 2 hours to my day previously lost to commuting. The shift to remote work can make disability keys, much less visible. My accommodations are already on my computer, so many coworkers don't even realize assistive technology is in place. This capped the pool of candidates to a tight geography area, limiting the employment options and the earning potential of workers, especially those with low vision. Due to the pandemic, that's no longer the case. Now having a polished online portfolio and web presence goes much further than handshakes at happy hour meetups. I experienced this firsthand about a month ago when a recruiter messaged me on LinkedIn about a senior writer position with a personal finance website. The office was an hour and a half away, but to attract qualified candidates, the company had made the position fully remote. I applied and got the job because of my experience, skill set, and personality, the way it's supposed to be. My home office is customized and adapted to my needs. I've mastered the technology that helps me to do my job. I still have occasional hiccups with Zoom, but hey, doesn't everyone? There's no need to hide my disability, but there's no need to disclose it yet either. A lack of transportation won't hinder my ability to write or get to work on time. Of course, the pandemic hasn't leveled the playing field for all blind workers, only those who are proficient with technology and work a desk job. Still, more jobs than ever are going remote, from customer service to writing to data entry. To expand exclusivity to more people in the blind and low vision community, companies need to do their part. Employers should audit their own accessibility capabilities and establish inclusive initiatives for remote employees with disabilities. It's also on the employee to educate themselves and their employers on accessible technology. If you have low vision, work with state agencies and nonprofits such as Lighthouse or any other local state office. You can gain the proper training, education, and equipment you need to succeed. Don't be afraid to ask what low vision aids or other devices your company may need or may provide for you. Working with a disability is never easy, but the current labor market positions people impacted by vision loss to excel in a remote work world. For the millions of U.S. adults with a vision impairment, inclusion and newfound economic opportunity may be the greatest perk of a remote world. And it's helped so many people since the pandemic to start to begin to work, which is a great thing. My next story, Isaac Linsky, who's an author. Most of his sight was lost by the age of 25 to retinitis pigmentosa. In the process, he discovered that fear can be much more debilitating than vision loss. In his memoir, Eyes Wide Open, he discovered blindness could be overcome by letting go of overarching anxiety and inhibitions. Isaac says, "I've gained vision by losing my sight." More on Isaac's enlightenment in Don't Be Blinded by Fear. He says, "Don't be blinded by fear. By constraining our focus, anxiety prevents us from seeing all the options available to us. Further, it immobilizes us from taking any corrective action, setting the stage for a self-fulfilling prophecy." He says, "I've gained vision by losing my sight," confesses Isaac Linsky in his candid and literally eye-opening memoir, Eyes Wide Open. First diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, a degenerative eye disease, at the age of 13, Linsky's sight gradually deteriorated during his teens and early 20s. By the age of 25, he was fully blind. At first, he didn't really notice, but slowly he perceived holes which only increased in size and number. As the years progressed, when he received the diagnosis at the age of 13, he was wrought by fear as dark and hopeless future beckoned him. Remarkably, as his sight eroded, Linsky gained deeper insight into human perception and began to appreciate how fear can be more blinding than the disease that robbed him of his sight. As Linsky realized over time, we don't just see what is out there through an objective lens. Rather, our memories, thoughts, assumptions, and feelings also impact what we perceive. So all of our perceptions, be it sight, sound, or touch, are subjective and are shaped by the perceiver's habits and instincts. Thus, you create and perpetuate your own reality, though it feels like you are passively observing the world around you as it is. During one of his early forays into blind independence, he decided to take a walk on his own using his cane to guide him. He left home on a hopeful and optimistic note, only to be overcome with dread as he discovered he was lost after about an hour of walking around. Fear and its cousins, like embarrassment, shame, and sadness, coursed through his being. He even began to panic. But after sitting down by the curb and breathing deeply, Linsky realized that fear can prevent you from seeing, just like his eyes. He calmed himself down and surveyed the options before him. What seemed like a Herculean crisis a few minutes before now boiled down to a manageable problem of retracing his steps and asking for directions. Overwhelming emotions, Linsky discovered, can distort our perspective as much as or more than a faulty sense organ. By constraining our focus, anxiety prevents us from seeing all the options available to us. Further, it immobilizes us from taking any corrective action, setting the stage for a self-fulfilling prophecy. In the early days, as his eyes eroded, Linsky could not help catastrophizing about a future of gloom and doom. But as he gradually adapted to his changed world by using a cane, learning to use special screen reading software, and following practical tips from an occupational therapist, Linsky had an epiphany that blindness could be tackled if he let go of his overarching fears and inhibitions. He had to first dispel notions entrenched in him by societal conditioning. For example, he had to dismiss the idea that using a cane made him vulnerable. He had to let go of early assumptions that cast disability as weakness and dependence on others as insecurity. Linsky admits that he is horrified by the misguided constructions of disability that he himself had carried. As Linsky learned to accept his new reality, he counsels readers to follow their own unique paths without worrying about what other people might think. While his sight grew more fractured, Linsky found that his other faculties sharpened. One evening, he visited a new restaurant along with his wife and their friends. After being led to their table by a waitress, one person in his group wanted to use the restroom. Linsky was the only one in the group who could guide the woman to the restroom, as none of the others had noticed where it was while walking to their table. Relying on his senses of smell and sound, Linsky had precisely noted where the bar and restrooms were located. Though his wife and friends did not have compromised hearing or smell, they hadn't utilized these faculties the way Linsky did. Over 2 decades after his initial diagnosis that set alarming bells chiming, Linsky declares that blindness feels familiar, comfortable, normal, routine. Further, he has led a rich life replete with achievements and fulfillment. He graduated from Harvard with a degree in computer science and mathematics, went on to study at Harvard Law School, served as a clerk at the U.S. Supreme Court, and now runs a successful construction business. Besides, he has a lovely wife and is a proud father of 4 children. By conquering our self-limiting fears, we too can chart meaningful life paths, eyes wide open. Next story, Alexandra Joy Crocco, photographer. She has a white cane in one hand and a camera in the other, which can be confusing sight for most people, but that just goes to show you can have an eye for photography without having good eyesight. Alexandra's multiple vision problems are caused by albinism, and although she can't see a lot of detail, she has proven her ability to capture the special moments her clients treasures. Here's how Alexandra achieves her career milestone. From this CTInsider.com, legally blind Orange photographer achieves career milestones, aims for next challenge. Alexandria Joy Crocco is a legally blind photographer and already has a vast client base, but she wanted to prove something to herself by taking a rigorous test to become officially certified by the Professional Photographers of America. Uncertain about whether she could pull it off, Crocco decided to book a future trip to Disney World, fighting it and the wages that comes along with it. Figuring it was going to be a celebratory trip or a cheer myself up trip, she said. Turns out it will be a confetti time with Mickey and the gang. Crocco passed both the written and the practical test for official certification, the latter a precise exercise in photography that was the same for all. 6 years ago, she opened Alexandria Joy Photography. If you had asked me about doing this when I first started, I'd have put it as a dream, not a goal, she said. Crocco has albinism, which means she has no pigment in her skin or hair, including her eyebrows and eyelashes. Vision and other eye problems are common in the genetic disorder, and she has her share. She is legally blind. The vision in her good eye is 20 over 600 and her bad eye 20 over 800. And she also has nystagmus, meaning her eyes make repetitive, uncontrolled movements. I like to say I'm a socially awkward weirdo. I can't make eye contact. I squint more than others. I tilt my head, Crocco said. She said people also are confused when they see she has a guide stick in one hand and a camera in the other. She can't see the details of a face from even inches away, doesn't have the best depth perception, yet has won many photography awards and wows clients with an uncanny ability to capture that special moment of emotion. Crocco relies on her keen sense of hearing to get cues from the laughter, voices, and other sounds of children and families she shoots. She's engaging, brings props, clients say, and creates that mood that her ears perk up. She also can sense the sound of frustration in a child's voice, even when they can't express it, signaling to Crocco that it's time for a break and to get her client happy again. Once the joyful sounds resonate, she shoots rapidly, so she has a lot of images to choose from, and later in editing chooses the best pictures through a large computer screen, magnification, and bright light. One of her clients, Judy Primavera, founder of the Jamie Hulley Arts Foundation in honor of her late daughter, uses Crocco and says she excels with shots of people and performers, but even has a way with still life subjects such as a table of food. For someone who has a visual challenge, I'm often amazed that she's so much better than people who have full vision. Primavera said, I am totally overwhelmed by her ability to bring things to life. She's got such a good eye. Primavera said Crocco is a role model for anyone with a challenge. They have to find another way. She's very special. Human being, very talented, Primavera says. Crocco specializes in photographs, kids, family, and animals with a special place in the heart for the wolves, tigers, and other big cats at a zoo. She was the 2021 Fine Arts Photographer of the Year for the Connecticut Professional Photographers Association and their 2021 Portrait Photographer of the Year. Crocco, widely known in the community as Lexi, joined a small study group in August 2020 of other photographers set to go for their certification. They met until April 2021. When the test was scheduled, it turned out she could read the test but needed help with the bubbles. In the practical portion of the test, the applicants had to photograph a white foam ball, a box of crayons, and a marker with certain specifications that require measuring distances. She used a big print measuring tape using light and various other photographic elements to make all of this happen for herself. You had to earn it, she said. I kept telling myself I wasn't good enough. When she got the news that was officially certified, Crockle started running laps around the kitchen. My grandmother thought I was a crazy person, Crockle remembers. She didn't need to prove anything to clients and potential clients, but rather, I think it was proving it to myself. Since Crockle is always challenging herself and has found strategies for overcoming so much in life, she has her eye on the next goal and dream to earn the destinations in the photo industry of craftsmen, then master. It's another level and it's going to take some time, Crockle said. Part of that requires teaching, and her idea is to teach other photographers how she operates as a legally blind photographer. I have to take seeing out of the equation in many areas of the trade, she said. One of her strategies is to have a system of extreme organization, charged batteries always in the same place in the camera bag, uncharged in another, so she can just reach in without looking. She said when photographing kids, they will invariably do something adorable when lenses are being changed, so she has to do it as quickly as possible. I want to give my way of doing things to help others, she said, noting there could be photographers facing challenges as they age. Crockle said there have been many challenges generally in life because of her albinism, but she always looks for the way around them. I'm going to give myself the pat I think I deserve now and move on to my next adventure, she said. And we know Christmas is almost here, so we're going to get some good ideas from APAConnectCenter.org. Gift ideas for people who are blind or low vision. Over the years, the vision-aware peer advisors and contributors developed ideas, excellent lists of gift suggestions for individuals who are blind or low vision. Consider these gifts and make shopping for yourself or someone who is blind or low vision a little easier. Suggestions for gifts for the board and card game lover. Many board games, vision aware, including Scrabble, Checkers, Monopoly, and others have braille, large print game pieces, and or tactile markings on the boards, making great gifts for all game lovers. The classic card game Uno is available in braille. Decks of playing cards can be purchased with large print or braille configurations. 64-ounce games sells accessibility kits, enabling blind or low vision individuals to play many modern popular games with sighted families and friends. Gifts for those who love to cook. Large print tactile measuring cups and spoons are very useful for cooks who are blind or low vision. One of those is an Instant Pot multi-cooker. It's an appliance, especially models with all button controls. It's easy to use if someone is blind or low vision. Also, kitchen timer with a large print or braille. Smart speakers such as an Amazon Echo Dot allow you to ask Alexa to set a timer and much more. Like, hey, Alexa, listen to NCRS. Great piece, right? And how about those gifts for avid readers? We suggest good audiobooks. Suggest books authored by or about living with blindness or low vision. Gifts for those who love arts and crafts. Adjustable task lamps for crafters. Other practical items such as boxes, baskets, or other organizational containers to store craft supplies. There are labeling tips helping you and others mark supplies for easy identification. Reading setup, a craft area, some ideas to try if you are blind or have low vision. Gifts for the tech enthusiasts. Again, you can get someone special, their very own digital assistant, the Amazon Dot. It gives you commands. You can know about weather, news, headlines. You can also play games, set alarms and timers, like I said before, and also music. The HomePod Mini is Apple's versions of a smart speaker. The $99 device comes in various colors, sounds fantastic, and includes built-in accessibility features. So have fun with it. And since smart speakers are voice controlled, they make an excellent gift for someone who is blind or low vision. Amazon has solar chargers that range from $25 to $65 and work with iPhones, iPads, Android, and Samsung devices. You can also use the Rupee charger, which is a high-capacity battery, can be charged in multiple ways by sunlight, the USB cable from a computer, and any bright indoor lamp or a wall adapter. This device is slightly larger than an iPhone, and it stores enough energy to charge a smartphone 7 times or a tablet 4 times before recharging. You can find this product and similar devices on Amazon. You can also consider purchasing the LV tablet stand. It uses a smartphone or tablet, especially for reading text or taking a picture. If you or someone you know has trouble telling colors apart and use an iPhone, try a free Seeing AI app. And gifts for helping others. Giving the gift of time with homemade coupons or coupons, however you say it, assisting someone who is blind or low vision with transportation, paperwork, home chores or repairs, or safety modifications for reduced fall risk. This is a great gift for grandkids. For the person who has it all, how about a massage, facial manicure, pedicure, or donation to a favorite charity, rideshare gift cards, Lyft, Uber, or Go grandparents are appreciated. You also can recommend cleaning service to help with dusting, vacuuming, and other household chores. Services like Molly Maid Housekeeping can help find spots missed during regular cleaning, and also try homemade gifts. Small, useful gifts are practical and include large displays or talking calculators, large print address books, or other types of office products such as check writing and handwriting gifts. All great things you can do. And consider purchasing a PenFriend Maxi Ads. It's a system recording instructions, notes, and labs. Audio labs can be used for anything, including managing medications. Flashlights are handy gifts. Check out the Big Larry Light 2 flashlight. And good lighting is always a plus. The portable Ot Light provides good lighting on the go. Experimentally giving. This is a sample for different things you can always give. Listen to a webinar. It's posted to find out more information. How about a 3D printing workshop, robotics camp, a subscription to a streaming service like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Prime Video, a gift certificate to a digital bookstore like Amazon Kindle, Apple Books, Audio, or .com, music, fashion, personal shopper, favorite stores, hobbies, cooking classes, painting classes, all these things, and also those that are very into sports. All of these things are great things to help a person who is blind or visually impaired or with low vision, and it's great Christmas gifts to them and for yourself. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Connect to Success, and I hope some of this inspiration will be for you, and so you can connect to your own success. We hope you've enjoyed it. Stay tuned for more next month. I'm your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill. You're listening to Connect to Success. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. See you next time on the radio, and happy holidays.